I will not speak much. I will mainly allow time for questions and answers. I'm very glad to be here. However, who is from Eilat here? Wow, so many? Oh. I always thought that Eilat is the Eilat group. I like 10% from Eilat, and all the rest are from other moshavim and kibbutzim around the area. Wow, so there are a lot of you. I heard the women group here is very strong and it's pushing the men really well. This is very good. This is always giving me the confidence that will last. What shall I tell you? We are before a very special state. As we saw in recent events all over the world, the world is starting to wake up by all kind of blows, and gradually understand that there is a problem here, a global general problem, and people really feel it. Our people all over the world, the groups also feeling it. We receive reports from the groups all over the world, from Latin America, Africa, North America, Europe, that indeed there is a big awakening. People are starting to ask more and more and to understand more and more what's going on, that there is a certain tendency here, a very special tendency in humanity that has to reach something, that all the events that occur with us, both global, all over the world, and locally in the country of Israel, and also with each and everyone in education, and with the children and families, and defense and climate, all that happens indeed methodically in order to aim us to the question, where is it coming from and why is it coming our way? And more we reveal our imbalance with nature. Just as the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us that all the cause, the reason for which all the degrees of seal, vegetative and animate, are working in harmony in nature, and there is nothing there that corrupts the right connection and good connection, whereby humans are the only force in which there is ego, which swallows and uses the whole environment in a way that it ruins it. And there's no other choice. We must enter balance with nature. Nature in Gematria equals Elohim, the Creator. Meaning, we will have to understand that humans are the reason for the evil. But not in a way that one uses too much natural resources. Rather, the reason being in us hating one another. That we are not in the degree of still vegetative and animate in our usage of the environment. This is not the reason why we ruin it. Like people think that global warming is because we have much gas emission and air pollution and land pollution. No. The main problem, Kabbalists are telling us, is in our thoughts. And by our thoughts, we are ruining our environment. By these thoughts we ruin our environment, and this is the main thing, that indeed it won't help us to be good with nature, to organize everything, and even spread food, hand out food to people and medicine. Nothing will help. We have to correct the human nature. The general force, the Creator, requires of us to come to equivalence with it, for us to want and to be like Him. And like Him means, as it is written in the Torah, love thy friend as thyself. Nothing else is important. By that we are coming to balance. Moreover, by us executing this rule, love thy friend, meaning when I exit myself and start seeing myself as a servant to what is outside of me, by that I'm starting to understand that what is outside of me isn't outside, rather indeed there would appear to me as external people. In general, the universe and everything that appeared external isn't so. I'm starting to discover that it is part of me. And this part is what is called the neshama, my soul, meaning what I now perceive within me is called my body. And what I'm exiting myself and trying to feel the fellow person as I feel myself, then I discover that what appeared to me is external to me, different parts of me, and truly all that I see, as we learn from perception of reality in the introduction to the book of Zohar, I discover that all that is not outside of me, rather it is actually my soul. When I'm treating outside as to myself, therefore it is called love thy friend as thyself. Meaning if I will treat what's outside of me like that, then I will discover the Torah, the upper light. And then, as it is written also in the Torah, don't call it chirut, engraved rather chirut, freedom. Freedom from the angel of death. That will explain to us in the essay, the giving of the Torah and the avud, the mutual guarantee. Meaning when a person exits himself by his emotions, through that he is starting to feel that he exists eternity, is internally in a dimension that is not corporeal sense in five senses, rather in an unlimited dimension. It seems a bit peculiar and unreasonable to us, however, or illogical. However, this is how it happens in perception of reality. Kabbalists explain to us that just as I perceive reality now in my mind, it just seems to me as external to me. This is how I was born. This is how I'm sensing, how I'm feeling. However, once I'm exiting myself outwardly, I'm starting to grasp to what extent my perception is false. I'm starting to reveal a reality on a higher plane, higher dimension. And this is all explained in the Zohar, in the introduction to the book of Zohar, in many places. This is why Kabbalists explain to us that when we exit ourselves, by that we're transforming ourselves. By that, during this life, while being here in this world, we are discovering the eternal life, to the extent that a person doesn't need to feel as if he live and die. He doesn't need to tie himself to his body, which lives and dies. He needs, during his life that was given to him, to ascend and identify himself with his soul. And then there is no life or death, simply eternal life. And this is what we have to come to. And in order to come to it, we are given a group for us to be able to, with our friends, along to practice in it. Meaning when I exit towards them, they help me exiting, they're pulling me. I'm trying to assist them, and thus in such reciprocal way, one will help assist his fellow men, we can come to a state whereby we are exiting the sensation of the inside to the sensation of the outside of us. We're revealing the soul. This is why the environment is so important to us. As Balasulam explains to us in the article, The Freedom of Choice. Meaning the environment can draw you outwardly. It can impart in you the importance of the revelation of the Creator. Meaning Creator means when you exit yourself and reveal nature, the upper nature. Elohim, Creator, is also equal nature, the nature in Gematria. For that reason, we have to develop a group. A group could be a few people who are close to me, those I'm in contact with through email, internet, TV. However, it has to be something that constantly affects me, constantly awakens me, stimulates me, exits me outside my donkey, my body, awaken me to reach love thy friend as thyself as a great rule in the Torah. Rule inclusive of all the rules where I absorb the upper light. Therefore, I'm very glad that today, apart from the big global group we have across the whole world, hundreds of thousands of students, once we could count them, we came up to 2 million, as far as I remember. So we see that along with it, everywhere, more and more groups are evolving. And indeed, that gives us great opportunity and hope for us to reach such critical mass, whereby it will be easier for us to make that transition, transformation, to move from inner perception to outer perception, and then reveal the other half of reality, this eternal, true life, not through the body, rather as it truly is, meaning through the soul. Therefore, I'm very glad that I'm meeting now in my sequence of meetings with our groups who so nice and well have been established in so many places. Soon we have an event in Be'er Sheva on Wednesday night where we're expecting more than 1,000 people to turn up, and later on we have other events, as you probably know, and then we have also the big international convention in November, 9th till the 11th, when we're expecting to see our friends from all over the world. Maybe 6, 7, or 8,000 and people, friends, even kids, there'll be around 1,500 to 2,000 kids from across the whole of Israel and abroad. So we see how much it helps, how much the wisdom of Kabbalah reveals to a person a good future, to what extent it works on the kids. Especially, we see that we only started investing in our kids, but I already see to what extent they want, to what extent they're different from other kids. Meaning, precisely, they are with us together. And I'm talking about 16 till 18 years old, which are coming to the meals and all kind of events, and they're sitting next to their dad. In such ages, where do you see that? They don't draw them into it or persuade them. You saw that you can't quite tell a child what to do. Yet those kids want to continue with us in our society. And we see that the light that works and awaken, to what extent there is a huge intensity in it. Therefore, Eilat, the town where Rav is speaking from now, it is also a special town. You know its character much better than I do. I've only been here maybe 4 or 5 times across my life. However, we can and we must nevertheless to develop a huge dissemination infrastructure, newspapers, magazines, to try that in the hotels they will see our page or do lectures where you can bring people freely and more events. I hope our friends can come here also from the groups, our bands. We have a few such bands, and also make an event here. There are many options here. Therefore, this group is very important in respect to dissemination, and I think that we need to try and assist the Eilat group, my friends from all of Israel, that whatever they need, they will have in order to be organized for dissemination and constantly send our lectures here. As I said, our bands and so on. I will also be glad to come and get organized for big events, big lectures. Be glad to come. It's not a problem. And we will try and do so because we are in a very special process whereby the whole world must enter its final correction called a complete redemption. Therefore, to the extent we will work together in respect to disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah to broader audiences possible, by that we will ascend. The expansion of the wisdom of Kabbalah widthwise will cause our ascent heightwise. Therefore, I hope in both height and width see a significant growth in here. And I was very glad to hear that indeed, as it was known to us, that all in all, how many people are here, a few in Eilat and in all kind of places and settlements around the area, which this is what is called the Eilat group, but suddenly there are tens of people here. This is very moving. So I hope you grow and for us to see a lot of joy from you. If you have questions, please go ahead.
Microphone, Rak.
Just pass the mic to the back.
I have a small question. Well, you're on TV on Saturdays. On the Sabbath. Every video that is sold also. All the CDs written by different Ravs in Israel. It says, do not broadcast on Saturday because it's forbidden. But we see you here on Saturdays. And you could tell them, of course, don't do this. But that's my question. Why is this so? And is this allowed?
There was a great question about that, indeed. What shall we do about it? And we decided that, yes, we are broadcasting on Shabbat. We have our own station. We are completely independent. This is an automatic station, a big computer. It's half that room. Only the broadcast section, not the studio where we shoot and where we process all the material, no. Only the completely automated station that works without people touching it. And this is why we are not violating Shabbat observation by that. People are opening TV. If they are opening on Shabbat, it's desirable that they are opening our channel and not watching other channels. And in that, I never heard from rabbis a word about it, because they understand that we are doing it. It is written, Shabbat automated broadcast, just like using electricity. Electricity, it's much worse, because there people are working and during Shabbat and violating Shabbat in order to manufacture electricity for you. But we somehow shut our eyes and using it. And here, you have no usage of manpower. There's nothing on Shabbat that we are operating. If you come to us, you'll see. We are doing our own matter, meal and studying and everything. And at the same time, broadcast is run automatically. So there's no problem running automated broadcasts, and we also hope to have a radio one day, and we will also operate that. I think that Shabbat, if a person has the opportunity to watch television, and nevertheless he is turning on the television, he may as well watch our channel. That's not a loss. Please.
Microphone.
Please pass the mic quickly.
Hello, Rav. Well, my name is Hadar. I'm from the Eilat group. And my question is, I heard that in all the Kabbalah homes around Israel, there should be meetings. Yes, so I wanted an understanding of what are these introductory evenings in the Kabbalah homes around Israel.
Introduction nights? Is it like the learning centers? Shimon. Yeah, I just wanted to know if I'm if we're talking about the same thing. Yeah, our point, nevertheless, aside from all the nice things we're doing, the meals and the holidays and the community aspect, I hope you will develop also here kids activities for kids and women, and also invite maybe psychologists to come, and if you want to talk before you, really, to have a house for the public, not like for people to come and treat, to have it nice and attract people, because it's a good activity here. So, beside that, we want people, nevertheless, to learn what Kabbalah is, because Baal HaSulam writes, and it is so. Just as a person is born in this world, you know, what is it he is born? It's just a piece of flesh. And later on, we need to educate him, care for him, at least for 15 years, 20 years. And in the good case scenario, in the worst case scenario, 20 more years, until he's independent, right? Meaning a person, when he's born into this world, he's not ready for this world. Accordingly, into the spiritual world. When we want to be born into the spiritual world, we want to feel it, to live it, to get arranged along in it. First of all, we have to receive a lot of knowledge, impressions, discernments, and only then we receive an entry ticket to the spiritual world. Then it opens up for us. Then according to our awareness, we start to identify where we are. Oh, this is how it is, and this is that, and this is this. So I'm starting to see that transparent reality, like through it, I'm starting to identify the spiritual world, the forces that activate all that happens here. Therefore, we need to study. And the studying is our campus, like a learning center. Doesn't matter how you call it. Whereby those introduction lectures are in order to explain to the person to what extent it is important to go through a series of lectures which give a person understanding, foundation, what reality we're in. We're in a very vast reality. Five worlds, we're in the smallest point of it, in the center, truly like a little minuscule place. Where are those five worlds that operate? How can they cope with them? How can I feel them? How can I use them for my benefit? What are the laws of that system? Where is it connected to me? How am I built in respect to those worlds? How am I in them and at our world at the same time? All those things person has to study. Kabbalists told us that in order for us to, with the aid of their studying, reveal that reality quicker. Because we can reveal it without studying, but it will take us tens of years. And this way will be much faster. So I'm inviting everyone, whoever not being through those lectures, and just a sequence of lectures, not very big, but a series of lectures, but everyone should go through it. You finish those 10-15 lectures, I'll come and bring you a diploma. All right? Yes, next to you.
Good evening, Rav. Good evening. We're so happy to have you here. I'm so excited. I had a question. We hear and we see in your attitude for a long time, yes, the importance of southern Israel, especially Eilat. This Wednesday we have a huge event in Be'er Sheva. We feel that you give much importance to the south. And I don't know, it's superb. Maybe you could expand a bit. Why do you have such a special attitude to southern Israel? What do you expect of us to heighten it even more, to take it on our wings and make it even better?
I'll tell you, maybe in a very simple, crude word. Tel Aviv is a lost place. Jerusalem, Baal HaSulam writes, it's since the time of the temple, the destruction of the temple is the place of the klipa, of the shells, where there was a destruction about the north. I don't want to say about our friends in the north, but it says that the Galilee would be ruined. We remain with the south. No, but I said about it. Obviously, God forbid, I have love to everyone across the whole of Israel and across the whole world. But here there's a big potential because through you, through that town, maybe 20% of the country is going through Eilat during the year. It's just a holiday destination. This is a very unique, small place where you can focus a dissemination move, act. It is unprecedented. Here people coming for a holiday, comfortable, without all kind of limitation and stress. And therefore it is easy. I think we should find a way. How can we bring them the wisdom of Kabbalah in a light manner, just as an introduction? And I think it is possible.
Thank you. Thank you, Rav.
At the back.
Microphone.
Shalom, Erev Tov.
Hello. Good evening. Good week. I wanted to ask, I'm a friend of a global, spiritual, universal society. Nothing specific, really. And I love to have such energies. I do watch your TV station, and I've heard what you've had to say, and awakened in me such a happiness to know that there are such people like this in this country. My question is regarding things which are a bit, I don't know, unpleasant to hear. You give examples about what's good and not good. Optimistic, not optimistic. Sometimes you use words which is not so positive. Just for an example.
Maybe you give me an example.
Well, if we had anything unpleasant in our past, let's say, instead of people saying, I don't know,
Well, say something to the point.
I don't know, maybe not use the word evil or bad, because that word's former reality. And if I say something bad happened to me, it's like I'm harboring this bad energy.
I don't follow that approach. I'm sorry. You can read books of Kabbalah. It says evil. Evil I created. The evil inclination. Everything is revealed. We, in our words, we don't create any reality, and not spirits and no demons.
But the words, they have power, no?
No. We have to learn those things, but don't be too scared of it. Yeah, you can come down. I'm using words. Our language is entirely from the books of Kabbalah. I had nowhere else to study from.
But we're allowed to use these words?
No, not permitted. I'm using precisely the words that Kabbalists are using. I have no other possibility. I grew on the knees of Rabash. He's the last great Kabbalist of our generation. I was his assistant for 12 years, his secretary, his driver.
Right-hand man.
His right-hand man. And just as I gave lectures next to him and I wrote my first three books, so I continue. And my vocabulary is entirely from the books of Kabbalah. And what other people think about that doesn't relate to me. I'm sorry. I also recommend you not to pay too much attention to him. When a person bring out of his mouth, the main thing is his spiritual charge.
Can we go to the land of Israel on our own? Or do we all really have to do this as partners?
It is impossible alone. It has never been possible to enter alone. Because only unique individuals had such revelations that where they entered the revelation of the desire to bestow Lishma, or so-called the land of Israel. But we are incapable of it. Hence, Kabbalists always built groups. You can see it with the Ari, yeah, the group, the Holy Ari, the Ramchal. He is a great Kabbalist in Italy, Abarbanel, in Spain, everywhere. Like the Baal Shem Tov later on established big groups in East Europe. Always, you can. Baal HaSulam explains it in the freedom of choice, that without the influence of the environment, we are incapable of advancing. Where will I receive the importance of spirituality? You must buy it from the outside. Where from? Alone, to extract it from the books, it's almost impossible. Therefore, building an environment is an essential thing. Yes, please.
Microphone.
Pass the mic, please.
Well, you began the lecture. Look where we got, yeah? That a person, a man, has ruined the balance with nature.
That's intentionally. The fact we're in balance with nature, it's simply that we advanced towards that state over the generations in our history.
Yes, that's it. That's what I was trying to say. And really, we know that man has no freedom of choice.
Of course, it's not up to us.
And what's happening really is the program of the Creator, which just really brought us to this state. So,
correct.
So my question is, why have we gone to such a harsh state? I would say even cruel. Look what's happening in reality. And let's say I got to learn with the learning center. And here too, there's no freedom of choice. It's either path of suffering or path of Torah.
No, specifically from now, it's path of Torah, path of suffering.
Yes,
yeah,
but
there is a choice between
it's clear though.
What, you want another choice? There isn't. You're not given. There's the beginning of creation and the end of creation. And there's a period, 6,000 years. And we are 5,077. 770. And now we finished our egoistic development, where everything is set. Our world returned to be as in the days of Babylon. And we are in the same state. Suddenly, globalization revealed, meaning mutual independence, a mutual independence on any level, and it will be revealed further to what extent we are interconnected. Along with it also will reveal the hatred among us. And we will have to choose in all those situations what should we do further, until we will understand that we must. In such state there is no other choice. If it's in a family, you can divorce. Here we can't. We are all, you know, over the face of one little planet. So what can we do? Only to improve the relationship between us. And to improve the relationship, we are incapable. We are incapable of improving relationships. We are incapable of correcting man's nature. It is always evil, and this evil will develop further and further until we will eat one another literally. This is how it is written in the prophets.
This is man's fault, or is it the programs of the Creator?
No, the Creator's program, of course. He's doing it intentionally. What do you think? Of course. Just like he did thus far. Well, he said clearly, I've created the evil inclination. There's no renewal here. There's no discoveries. However, we are coming to a state that from here onwards, we have a choice. We can advance onward in the connection between us by wanting to connect, make a connection among us, and there is no other way but the light that reforms. That's it. It is just as it is written. I've created the evil inclination. I've created two eyes of spice because the light in it reforms. That's all. Where are we taking the light from? Well, this is what we study. That if we are together and studying the books of Kabbalah, which explain to us about a higher state where we are interconnected, from that very same state down to our evil state, we are drawing light, a force called the light that reforms. That's all. So let's arrange those conditions and succeed. I see it as a very easy thing for us. Look what conditions have we got. 30 years ago, when I studied the wisdom of Kabbalah, a bit earlier, 1976, I started. It was complete darkness. No one knew what it was. There were no books, there were nothing. Now we have everything. And groups and everything developed and explained. And then there was nothing. There was a study of the Ten Sefirot and Zohar with a Sulam commentary. That's it. Nothing but that. No articles, no letters, no explanation around it. Nothing. You open the study of the Ten Sefirot. What can you understand there? You open the Zohar. And that's it. And no one can explain it. Until I've started truly, penny by penny, extract from my teacher those things and arrange it. And these were years that... Now there's everything available, so good luck.
Microphone, please.
Pass the mic, please.
Hello.
My name is Yael. I have three questions. One, if everything is planned from above,
aside from free choice,
that the choice is to choose between the two paths.
Otherwise what?
Well, how do we explain the matter of the Holocaust?
Very simply, we haven't done what we should have done. We got punished, got hit.
What does that mean?
Well, Bala Sulam wanted so much to guard the Jews from it and wanted to bring them out of East Europe. You know what they did to him? He even bought in Sweden home kits He sent it to Israel. He started recruiting all the Jews from Warsaw and left Poland and wanted them to move to Israel. And they forbid him. They removed him from the community. He was a respected judge there, and when he was when he started doing that, they kicked him out of the community. He had to run away, and later on he brought the family, and all those who wanted to come with him, they stopped them, and all remained there and died in the Holocaust. And when he came to the land of Israel also, he spoke about it and screamed about it, like raised voice about it, and there are writings that he says clearly, look what will happen in 20 years time, and there's nothing you can do. By the way, there are many people then who 15, 20 years before it spoke about it out of revelation of that spiritual process.
But we had no free choice there either. It's not our choice. They didn't choose.
They
didn't program.
Choose. Why program? There's a program to reach the goal. You can reach the goal in a good path or the bad path. It's like a child. A wicked child get a hit and then he sits and does homework and do homework, and a good kid just sits straight away and do homework.
So what you're saying is that bestowal,
it's the choice is not to do homework. The choice is in what way to get to do them. That's all. Up front, you're told. The beginning of creation, end of creation, a certain time period, and a process we have to undergo. In what way we have to undergo the process? If the process I'm undergoing is desirable in my eyes, whereby the society I'm developing in me attraction to spiritual advancement, then it is going through me is fun, and I'm opening more and more opportunities, and everything is going well, and then I'm advancing well in for my benefit and for the benefit of the Creator. Everyone is happy. If I don't want to advance, then nevertheless I'm executing the actions, but by prolonged time, meaning not in the same incarnation, rather in a few future incarnations, by blows and murder and all the things we are accustomed to throughout history. It is all that we bring upon ourselves is because we haven't done the corrections in due time. It's all like that. How did Rabbi Akiva scream before the destruction of the Second Temple? Love thyself as thy friend. Even his friends, even his students end up falling into free hatred and unfounded hatred. And then came the destruction. Yes, second question.
Well, I didn't understand so well.
Well, you hear and later on you'll get it.
Okay. Okay, my second question was our goal, the final goal of the wisdom of Kabbalah. We are all supposed to perform mitzvot, right? And become religious or repent.
The guy next to you is right. There's no connection between keeping physical precepts, commandments, because the world is imaginary world. It's a world that doesn't exist outside of apart from in our imagination. Read the book of Zohar and the introduction to the book of Zohar. And what we call precepts, mitzvot, in the wisdom of Kabbalah is the correction of our desires, which includes 613 desires, and the correction of those desires from in order to receive to in order to bestow, meaning from an egoistic usage to an egoistic for the sake of others, is what is called the keeping of Torah and mitzvot. And it is done by the usage of the upper light, by 613 lights that correct 613 desires. And this is what is called keeping the Torah and mitzvot. You can open the book of Zohar, first volume, and read there. This article is called, what's the name of the article, Bensi? 613 times and 613 deposits. Yeah, it's your mic, I reckon.
It's the article after the end of the introduction of the book of Zohar. There's 613, 18 in Pkudin.
Well, there's a more accurate, more complex name. Well, third question. Also not so clear?
No, I mean, I'm asking not because I don't know. I'm learning with a group and it's not clear.
I'll tell you, I see there's the matter here of concern for keeping or not keeping Torah mitzvot. We are not reforming people. We are not bringing people into religious life. Kabbalah refers to mutual life among us as culture of the nation. Meaning by that we are keeping a national framework. Just like in a traditional home. Like lighting candles and all those things. This is our tradition, customs, just like every nation has kind of its part of its culture. Also, with us, Kabbalists are calling it customs. No either precepts nor laws, rather customs. Therefore, the precepts, meaning that I must correct my heart, my desires, for that the whole Torah was given. And in our world, I can also organize accordingly my life frame, but nothing more than that. He who wants, he who doesn't want, this is their individual matter. Therefore, we're not reforming people, and they're also religious and secular people, also non-Jewish who study with us, and we have students across the whole world, in Germany, in South America, completely everyone, because my house would be called the house of prayer for all the nations. We are in the final redemption, the process of the final redemption, and there's no connection here to religion. Although, if you're asking me again about this framework for Jewish people, I'm in support of it. I think it doesn't harm. It provides us a certain character, another religious characteristic, as you're saying, rather the characteristic of the nation, which is this is ours, just like every nation has its own tradition. And also Baal HaSulam says in the book The Last Generation, he writes, after the correction of all the souls of all the nations in the days of the Messiah, everyone can remain in their religion. In their religion. How could it be? Christians, Muslims, Jews, this, that. What do you mean in their religion? Because there's nothing more to it than culture, customs. To that extent, it loses all its importance. It's just customs. These guys want to have, keep that, these ones to keep that. That's okay. See what a Kabbalist writes about something that is so subtle, so delicate.
כן, בבקשה.
Yes, please.
ערב טוב.
Good evening. In my past, the history of my family and beforehand, I mean, I came from a very religious household. I remember it was a great forbiddance, you know, to touch everything you touch, yeah? It's still very hard for me. Who's close to me and wants to bring me closer and show me the truth? It's hard for me. Lately, however it may be, I've come into contact with your writings, with the Kabbalah. I still can't grasp the why is this permitted.
Why is it permitted to reveal the wisdom of Kabbalah? Not in my writings, the writings of Kabbalists, the great Kabbalists, where Rav Kook, Baal HaSulam, Rabash.
But they forbid people to touch their writings, very clean and exalted and sublime.
Madam, do not continue. This is incorrect. They wrote precisely the opposite. Get into the internet, check our site, take all the books and see what they write. Precisely the opposite. I don't know where you got that confidence to say what you're saying. It was forbidden to touch the wisdom of Kabbalah from the destruction of the Second Temple. After also the Zohar, for that very reason, was concealed, was hidden. Why? It was forbidden to study the wisdom of Kabbalah and reveal it to the masses, other than to unique individuals in each and every generation, which were a few tens of people in each and every generation, in order to go through the time of exile. During the time of exile, it was forbidden to reveal the Kabbalah. Exile means disconnection from spirituality. Why? As it is written, the people of Israel went to exile to connect the souls of the nations to them. We have to mingle with the souls. We have to understand that process, not to just say it. Kabbalists themselves draw the masses away from the wisdom of Kabbalah because they had to do so until the time of the Ari. You can read in the introduction of the Ari where he writes, the Ari is the Messiah, son of Joseph, symbolizes to us the end of exile. From that time onwards, it is permitted, it is written in his introduction. We have nothing more than the Ari. You can see whatever you want about your generation and Kabbalists in your generation. God forbid, I'm not this underestimating, but the Holy Ari is the Holy Ari. So hear to what he writes. You can open it up in the Beit Sharak Damod, the house of the gate of introductions, and the Marhu wrote, he wrote about it, and the Ramchal and the Baal Shem Tov opened the wisdom of Kabbalah. What is the Hasidic movement that he established? It's the wisdom of Kabbalah they started to publish to the masses, yeah? And from the beginning of the 20th century, when we moved, were allowed back into the country of Israel, see what Rav Kook wrote about it. We made a lot of programs about his life, because last week was 75 years for his departure, the Memorial Day. And what Baal HaSulam writes about it in Rabash, and the last Kabbalist, in general, we came to say that everything was revealed, everything is open. Besides, what do you need to talk? Going to every synagogue nowadays, there's a Kabbalah course. Today's, thank God, there's everything available. If 20 years ago was the unique in teaching wisdom of Kabbalah, nowadays you have no synagogue. Go to all the synagogues, even in Jerusalem, in the center, wherever you want. Every synagogue has a course for the wisdom of Kabbalah. They're not even talking about the fact that it's forbidden. No one said it's forbidden anymore. Besides, we have a book called To See Well, Lirot Tov. Are you familiar with it? No, well, you're lacking sources. Truly sources. See, someone show it to you there. The little book there. Yeah. You can acquire it here and see what Kabbalists are writing about the wisdom of Kabbalah and about the study. I'm asking. I like questions. However, questions who come after a person research the matter and ask seriously. No, no, you already asked. There is a limit. Well, once. Well, what shall I do? There are a lot of other people who want to ask.
I'm a bit nervous, but I'll ask. There's a huge group of women here. We've joined the learning center, and I've heard many lectures of yours regarding the place of the women in the study. And I understand that the root of our soul is different, yes? The difference between a man and a woman.
This is why we're different in our world.
Okay, so is a woman able to reach the height of a man?
More than men.
Really?
Yeah, also more than men. Because in our world, as a consequence of the spiritual world, the woman represents the deficiency. And without woman's deficiency, man has no force to reach spirituality. Therefore, I'm glad that many women here. I ask, as I heard the women here, I asked, how are they? And the man said, ooh, they're very strong.
Thank you so much, Rav.
So indeed, that's very good. Yes, the guy with a nice hat.
Hello, Rav. First of all, I want to say once again, thank you for coming to the South. It's a big deal, you know. Anyone who wants... I think we're in a good state, you can see. My name is Avram from the Arava group. My question is actually quite simple. What is the attitude between the method of Baal HaSulam to the rest of the methods. As Rav said, you know, they taught in all the religious circles, Chabad, Orthodox. What's the relation between Bala Sulam's method and all these other methods, which I think they're all supposedly around the Ari and whatever he wrote? And what's the difference between Bala Sulam's method and Rabbi Shalom Shabazi, the Yemenite, who is known as a Yemenite Kabbalist? Maybe he's less known, but I'd like to know what's the difference here.
I cannot answer precisely, accurately about that question because I haven't researched those things. I studied, before I came to Rabash, I've studied over 4 years the Ramak, Ramchal, the different books of Hasidic movement like Tal Orot, Lights of Jew, the Pillar and Root of the Work. I studied for 6 months in Yeshiva. There I studied the Path of Your Commandments and other such books of Chabad. Well, of course, I've been through a few Gemara and, well, the ordinary study. Meaning, I can't. I, as a scientist in my character, I cannot say that I've engaged in a comparative research between different streams of Kabbalah. Only to, as far as I understand and feel what I, a little touch I had to those methods and as I was with Rabash, we visited all kind of Kabbalists, Sephardi and Ashkenazi Kabbalists. What I heard from being next to him, I was young at the time in the wisdom. I haven't found accuracy there. Maybe there was a bit more emotion, but emotion you can't grasp, you can't grip onto it. The other forms, other than Bala Sulam, are for those who are in the spiritual world. They are for those who feel the spiritual world, but it's not like you can err very quickly because you can just fly in your imagination. This method is a scientific methodology. It is based on intellect and heart through the middle line that aims you correctly to the goal. Therefore, I don't think that nowadays, with our souls, which on the one hand they demand emotion, on the other hand they require proofs, that we have any other suitable system, methodology. Although it is written that one study where his heart's desire. And our, you know, we leave the entry and exit door open. God forbid, there's no coercion in spirituality. However, it is not required of people, for people who move throughout the methods to come to the method of Balasana.
Well, I'm actually a witness for that, actually. By the way, I got across a book from Rab Chaim Vital, the Ari student, and I think it was called The Purity of the Creator, Sanctity of the Creator, something like that. There are things there that are very, how can I say, that we would define not scientific.
I'm not familiar with that book.
I think it was a hidden book and maybe printed lately.
Under the names of Chaim Vital and even under the names of Dari, many books were written that are seemingly, they want to be brought to the public over hundreds of years now, and we are not taking on them. We have the eight gays of Dari, we have the Tree of Life and the Fruit of the Tree of Life, all those main books that Bala Sulam wrote about it, his interpretation of Panimiot Masbirot, or the study of the Ten Sefirot, or the Book of Zohar also comes from Bala Sulam, the interpretation to the Book of Zohar, and all the articles and the letters. I don't think there's something that is worth adding. I personally studied with my teacher Adir Bamarom, the great ones in heavens. It's a Ramchal interpretation about Tzafot HaTzniuta, the Book of Modesty. These are very of the Zohar. These are very difficult books. Also learned another book about Tzafot HaTzniuta. Tzafot HaTzniuta is a part of the Zohar. Meaning, sometimes the Ramchal, but these are people who are, and books that are clearly their books and their interpretations. But also, it's not for our days. No. I think that what we have done with Bala Sulam and Rabash, the way we prepare this material to the wide audience, it's sufficiently enough to enter the spiritual world, and there one's soul will teach him. There you reveal what is happening, and you learn out of the fact that it opens up to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rav.
Yes. There's a young lad there.
Good evening. We learned that in the wisdom of Kabbalah, there are desires under the barrier. Yes, money, respect, knowledge, beastly desires.
Yes.
These are desires seemingly against the Creator. Necessary desires, very small ones. Why do we have to restrict them?
Who told you that? Who told you that? No, make no restriction.
But how do we receive the heavy desires above the barrier?
Enjoy this life as much as you want. Just keep your mind on the goal. But first, the mind on the goal, then enjoy it.
We learn that these desires, some of them are like against the environment, the society. In one of your lectures, I heard that you said that they're mainly desires that, well, everything that we do that's other than necessity that is against the environment. And some of them are things that we do here, like, I don't know, respect, succeed in life, and family. What's this? I mean, these are desires we are supposed to use or not. What's necessity?
So I give you a key. Make no scrutiny. That's okay, that's wrong. To what extent I can operate my love and envy and hate and control. Let go of all those things. If you are in mind and heart and gripping on to the goal, everything that comes out of you in a natural manner is right, and that's it.
Thank you.
Meaning, but for that, there has to be a war that constantly aims you to the goal, that you constantly feel yourself, sorry, a society that aims you to the goal. And then it's not a problem. And then there's no torments and limitations and fasts, all those things in the wisdom of Kabbalah, you need none of that, only to keep your heart on the goal. Alright? Well, okay. You're the only one left.
Oh, there's another guy here.
Alright. You get the mic for Tambin. Yes.
Good evening. I'd like to ask if your specific goal is to bring the entire group together to the light that reforms in one shot, or the a certain event of individuals, this guy, that guy, the other guy.
We are in a new era, and there is no return to spirituality in an individual manner, as it happened to unique individuals throughout the history. We were, throughout our history, so in exile, yeah, at the time of that 2,000 years of exile, we were in a state whereby people individually, people with very strong desire reached a teacher that was hidden in some corner. They studied the wisdom of Kabbalah with him and made it to redemption. And nowadays, it is impossible. We return to a period and conditions as they were prior to the destruction, the days of the temple. As Abraham took the Babylonians, connect them in love among them, and turn them into the people of Israel. Israel meaning Yashar Kel, straight to the goal, straight towards bestowal, the force of love that resided between them. The force of Abraham, the force of love. few thousands of people he took from Babylon, by that the nation of Israel was established. While holding them, love hold between them, hold them together. The moment that love was cancelled at the time of the temple, then there's no nation, everything broke. These people went to exile and that's it. We're no longer a nation. We can have a nation only if we connect in mutual reciprocal love. Still, we are not considered a nation. At least not currently. Therefore, we, all of us together, only in big groups, big sums, can raise the spirituality and not just one or just two, rather, and completely a whole mass.
The question is regarding the transition between I'm the one who desires and receiving to myself to becoming the giver. Is this transition individual?
Yes. Oh, I was scared a bit.
I got it. Okay, I have a question. I have questions regarding the correction of the soul. A woman who has become a widow and she's not married again, she has no male to bring her the correction? Is she eternally lost? She has no hope? Or what? You said the woman cannot bring correction. She needs a male.
So we have women group, correspondingly men's group. Women being across the whole world, a big lack, desire for elation, for correction. Men execute that action, what they receive from women. They don't have to hear it. They feel it within. The women are pressuring from within on the masculine part. Thus, we all advance towards the goal. And there's nothing to do here whether your man study or doesn't study, or whether he's alive or not. There's nothing to do with it.
So you're saying the correction is collective?
It is collective. Even if it is a general dependency. The masculine and the feminine souls acting together in such a connection among us. There's no connection between men and women in their private life. That one depends on the other and the opposite.
Well, I just wanted to know.
Yes, pass him the mic, please. Yeah, I need the door. There's one guy who cries.
Rav, first of all, welcome. First of all, I'm really excited. I always want to ask questions and I don't have the heart for it. I don't know why. I'm afraid. But instead of I'm asking, people ask for me, and you answer them. But there is something that I personally I'm putting up with. And I'd like to hear from you. I'll say this. I've been in this group in Eilat for a few months now. I joined them. It's about a few years that I'm, around circles. A bit at home, a bit on TV, looking around. I feel that finally I found my true path. I feel it. What's happening to me is that I really want to come every day to the morning lesson. In the beginning, I did it almost every day. And we have the afternoon activities, and I became very active. I'm not saying this to be boastful, but it was just a state. My question is, how do I find balance between what you call necessity, it's family, work, children, home, a spouse, to my activities in the center, the studies? I find that at least every day, I told a friend today, I wish I had like 5 hours, somewhere on the side.
I understand you. I'm thinking the following. We are in a very broad, general correction across the whole world. There are people that in order to make it to the center where they study, there are such places around the world, 2 hours drive. This is how it is, say, in New York or in Moscow or in many other places. There are people who are incapable of doing it because later on they won't last during the day in their corporal work, and the work might even be of high risk, and if they don't have the right awakeness. It might be that a person is not even healthy enough and it's not good for him. It might be that he doesn't have such a big desire over a time to cope with such coping, to hold on to such effort. It's not that easy. Now, we see that there are people who must make it to a Nobel Prize, and there are people who are sufficient being a scientist, and some people just care about providing for their family and having a holiday, and there are all kind of layers of desires. But there's nothing here that is less or more so. Because if you keep your desire in a nice, comfortable way, as much as you can remain connected with that idea of the correction of the soul, it is respected. Therefore, do not eat yourself, eat your heart. And I don't think we have to take a V for everyone, how many times a week he make it to the lesson. Rather, you have to sustain your center. We have to do some actions of dissemination so that people are more active at night, more people have time in the morning, and everyone has different time. The main thing is to do it in a way of nice unity and friendly friendship, first and foremost. I'll be glad just to see everyone happy, everyone to the extent that he invests himself, one more in dissemination, the other more in the studying, the other one more in keeping maintenance of the place. And so it should be as a place for everyone from Eilat or anyone who visits here can come to the center. Our friends will come, maybe, say, musicians, or we give lectures and so on, for you to be able to do some warm-up activity, to prepare the place for them for dissemination, or for some rock concert or something like that. I'm saying the advancement in the wisdom of Kabbalah does not depend properly on the investment, on the studying each and every moment like that, every day, every morning. Truly not. Therefore, take it easy. Imagine yourself a wish with God's help. We will make it over a year to a billion people. Yeah? So what? The whole billion people would wake up across the globe at 3 a.m. and start studying? No, of course not. There's no need in that. Therefore, you have to relate to one another with love. And only to see that if a friend truly requires support, and in some way to warm him up. But there is no coercion. It is very important. And usually in the groups, especially new groups, there's such tendencies to show that the group is strong, and then from that pressure everything breaks. You see, if a wheel in the car would be made not out of rubber, rather out of steel, it would break very quickly. Because it is made of rubber, it absorbs all the bumps. I think that Shimon Kamon has a very big heart. You know Shimon, yeah? He is the father of all the groups in Israel. He has a very warm heart. So you can always advise you what to do. Besides, for each group, there is a coordinator who is in charge of being like your representative. Besides, you guys know us very well. You can just call directly. In short, we will strengthen our connection. We will come here more often. We have to arrange a sequence of actions together. even though you would not wake up in the morning, will wake you up in the afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rav.
Hello.